I was down in Palatka a few years ago looking at the murals that they have down there painted on some of their buildings. They have these beautiful murals telling about the history of the city. And I learned that it was back in the late 1800s, 1884, they had this terrible fire. But before that, I mean, the city was doing really, really well. They had this great timber industry that was taking place there, lots of citrus, people who were coming. They had built these grand hotels. Things were going really well. Tourists, guests, the city was just, it was a great little city. And then this fire hit, this devastating fire in 1884, wiped out much of the city. About 10 years later, these freezes came through, killed off most of the citrus, and the tourists dried up, no hotels there, and their industries got hit pretty hard, and the city has kind of struggled a bit, you know, ever since that time. Come back a little bit, but it was a tough time for them. So things were going really well, and then they got hit with these devastations, really changed the area there. And I remember thinking to myself, as I was learning about the history in the city, that this is a lot like what life is like, that there are times of great blessing and great prosperity. And those are really good times to prepare and to prepare well, because surely life has many twists and turns and devastating things that take place, and they're going to come. So that means that the times of prosperity are times to prepare, to get ready for those difficulties which are to come. This is, in many ways, what our parable is about today, what our gospel reading is about, this theme of preparation. So this is Matthew chapter 24, and our Lord says that the kingdom of God, he's trying to explain this to people, is like these maidens who are preparing to light the way for the groom who's coming for his bride. The groom, of course, is Christ. This symbolizes the return of Christ, and these maidens, their lamps, this is their faith that they have. This is the light that they have. Their job is to light the way for the groom in preparation for this joyous celebration. But not all of them are ready. Half of them didn't bring enough oil, and their oil goes out, and so they have to go and get more oil. And so when the groom comes, they're not there to greet him. They're not able to enter into this joyous occasion. So what does this parable mean? What is this all about exactly? What is our Lord getting at? Well, to understand this parable, you need to understand, this is Matthew 24, you need to understand what comes before that. Because Matthew 24, this parable about the maidens, is really a summary of everything that the Lord has just explained in Matthew chapter, in the previous chapter, Matthew 23. So, I'm sorry, I'm getting my chapters mixed up. So we're in 25 today. So chapter 24 is what our Lord explained. So in chapter 24, our Lord is talking about the end. This is what this parable is a summary of. He's talking about what is to come in the end. He talks about a time of great destruction, a time of great tribulation. He is in many ways talking about what was known as the end of the Jewish world at the time, the destruction of the temple, which would take place in the year 70 AD, the year 70. So, and then, you know, the Roman troops would come in there and burn the city, destroy the temple, crucify thousands of people. It was a difficult time, a time of great tribulation. So he was talking about that, but also, in a way, foreshadowing and talking about the time at the end when there would be another tribulation for God's people, a time of great difficulty. He said that it would be a time when the faith of many would be shaken, a time when the faith of many would grow cold. There'd be a religious deception offered, you know, apparent solution to many at the price of apostasy, meaning turning away from the faith. He mentions in Matthew 24 this sacrilege that's going to be placed in the temple. So pointing forward to this time of the Antichrist. So the scriptures talk about this, the church talks about this, when there's going to be a great leader who's going to lead many astray, many away from the true faith, many away from our Lord. This is going to be a time when it seems to many as though the church is defeated. Such is going to be the destruction, the difficulty, the hardship. In many ways, you know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, this teaching document of the church, teaching book, describes this last trial, this last Passover, is that which is of the church going through what the Lord went through. It's going to be a death and a resurrection experience, a death-like experience in a way for the church, this final purification. And then after this great tribulation comes the return of the Lord when he sets all things right. Everything is put into place. And so, you know, and some people, you might be sitting there thinking, well, you know, this is this tribulation, all this bad stuff's going to take place, it's gonna be hard for the church. And then our Lord's going to come and set everything right. There's going to be a great joyous celebration. I don't know if I believe all that. Is that that prophecy? Is that really going to happen? Is that really going to come? Is that really going to take place? Consider for a moment these deep longings of the human heart, this deep part of who we are. We see this especially in stories, in fairy tales, in movies, this longing of the human heart. What do you see in these stories? You know, there's, of course, everything's going along well, and then there's some great tragedy, some great hardship, where it appears that, you know, everything's done. Hope is lost. The impossible has arisen, and it's over. And then, you know, this kind of great tribulation, in a way, time of great darkness. And then what happens after that? There's, of course, the protagonist, the lead in the story comes, and there's this heroic moment that takes place, and everything is saved. And there's this beautiful, happily ever after. I think these stories, these fairy tales that we have written, humans have written, show this deep longing of the heart, this truth of what it is in our world, this deep truth that has been programmed, this expectation, this longing that has been placed into our hearts by God. Because this is the story that we are part of. These prophecies, what our Lord is talking about, this time of trial and tribulation and darkness and hardship, followed by a great salvation, his second coming when he's going to set all things right. This is true. It's going to happen. The church proclaims this. Our hearts proclaim this in the stories that we see. This is what Matthew 24 is all about. And today we're in Matthew 25. We hear this parable of the maidens. This parable of the maidens and their preparation is a summary of what our Lord just explained in Matthew 24. And it's also instructive for you and me to be prepared for that time of difficulty, for that great tribulation. Just as those maidens were to be prepared to make it through that time of darkness with their lights, to be prepared for the coming of the groom. So also we are called to be prepared. Just as in that story, you know, the groom came at the darkest part of the night, came at midnight, the middle of the night. So our Lord is going to come, he's going to return when things seem to be at their worst. So this parable is in many ways a summary, an instructive summary to help get us ready for what is to come, about all the things that the Lord is talking about. You know, if you get a chance, read through Matthew 24. You can kind of see how this parable that we're digging into today summarizes all that and brings it together, calling you and I to action. So what's that action then? How do you and I prepare? How do we get ready? Well, there's a wrong way and a right way. So our Lord demonstrates this in the parable. The wrong way, of course, with the foolish maidens who didn't really get enough oil, right? They just did kind of the bare minimum. They put some oil in their lamps, like, oh, well, you know, that'll be good enough. Hopefully that'll make us by. And it wasn't, right? So they didn't, their lights went out. They weren't ready when the groom came. They weren't able to be part of this great celebration. This is a temptation for you and me in our own lives, in our own faith journeys, is to just kind of do the minimums when it comes to our faith. You know, I'll get to Mass, you know, when I can, you know, if there's family in town or I'm behind on my work, or I need to get the house cleaned up, the yard, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to get those things taken care of instead. But, you know, I'll get to Mass when I can. I like to, you know, now and again, get up with the Mass. So kind of doing the minimums or maybe the minimums when it comes to confession. Yeah, I haven't been to confession in a while, but, you know, I really like, I only like to go to a priest who doesn't know me, you know, like an out-of-town priest or, because I'm kind of embarrassed, you know, about my sins. And you know, if I see like a long line for the confession, then it's, I kind of, you know, like sit in long lines. And then it's just tough to kind of fit everything in my schedule, like doing all the stuff with the kids and running around and everything else. Just really hard to get to confession. So yeah, it's been a long time since I've been to confession. But you know, when all the stars line up just right, then I'll get in there and I'll get to confession. And you know, or you know, finances. Say, yeah, you know, I would like to do more for the poor, for building up the kingdom of God with my finances. But I got this big house that I'm paying for, and this vacation that I'm paying off, and you know, all these other things, and there usually is really just not much left in my budget after I've done all this other stuff that we'd like to do. And so this is the bare minimums, right? When it comes to faith. And this is what our Lord is warning us about. So these maidens who did just the bare minimums, they didn't make it, right? They didn't make it through that dark night. They weren't prepared. So if you're just doing the bare minimums for your faith, when the tribulation does come, your faith is probably not going to make it. You're going to be one of those whose faith is shaken, whose faith grows cold. Or maybe it's not at the great tribulation. Maybe it's just some of the ordinary, difficult things of life, the storms that come, and they do come. If you're not prepared, if you don't have a lot of oil, you know, your faith is not in a good, sturdy, you know, place, there's a good chance that it's going to be wiped out, that light's going to be snuffed. The oil is not going to last because you're not well prepared. Instead, our Lord commends to us this abundant preparation, this generous preparation, those wise maidens who were well prepared. What did they do? You know, the gospel says that they brought not only their lamps, but they brought flasks of oil with them. They brought all this backup oil. They were ready no matter what was going to take place. It didn't matter. They were well prepared. You know, what does this look like in your life? You know, maybe when's the last time that you really dug into growing in your faith through learning about your faith? Maybe learning about the lives of the saints, digging into the scriptures, being part of, you know, maybe a Bible study, a small group, some way to help you to really, you know, grow, to put oil into those flasks to get ready. You know, the Lord's given us all these great gifts, all this knowledge, these books and traditions and all these different devotions and things. He's given all this to us. It's all right there. The graces, the gifts are already there. We just have to say yes to it, you know? Yes to that oil that's already there, putting that into your flask. Or maybe it's prayer. Maybe you've kind of gotten away from prayer and the Lord's calling you back to really building up that life of devotion to Him, encountering Him. You know, I think of prayer a lot like building a healthy marriage. In a healthy marriage, the husband and wife, they talk to each other pretty often, right? And difficulties come, and like in a solid marriage, though, they've got good systems and things in place, right? So they, when they meet down and look over their calendars together to make sure they're getting together and doing things as a family and coordinating things, or when they're working up their finances, they got to have a plan, they're meeting together and getting all this organized, or you know, times of coming together and simply opening up their hearts to each other and really connecting as a couple. These are all like what healthy marriages do. They put in place good systems, good habits. This is what prayer is like too. You know, it's little baby steps and putting together good systems and good habits of encountering the Lord, of hearing Him, of allowing Him to touch your heart. This is what it is to pour all those graces that the Lord has, that He wants to pour into your life through your connection with Him, into that flask, so that you can be ready. We're saying yes to difficulties, to hardships. You know, practicing self-denial more than just once a year during Lent, but saying yes to sufferings, yes to difficulties, yes to the cross, you know, throughout the year, becoming more and more like Christ, telling the Lord, Lord, even if everything else falls apart, if my family crumbles, you know, my wife dies, my husband dies, the kids leave, my job falls apart, my finances collapse, you know, all those things, doesn't matter as long as I have you. You're more important than anything. So saying yes to difficulties, yes to hardships, All these are ways of pouring oil into that flask, of getting ready, of being well prepared, giving this generous yes to all these graces, this abundance that the Lord gives to us, so that we can be ready no matter what may come, no matter what tribulations or hardships, even, you know, something like the great tribulation at the end of time. This parable that our Lord gives us of the maidens is a summary of that which is to come, right? This great tribulation at the end of time when the faith of many will grow cold. And so in preparation for that, it would not be like the foolish maidens who did just the bare minimums and didn't make it when the trials and difficulties came. It would be like those wise maidens to be well prepared, generously saying yes to the Lord in our lives, that He may be glorified. Amen.